L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Oh, it's nice of you to join us, Kedge. Thank you very much.
Boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Why are you referring to yourself as plural? You're not the boys,
the original three boys are back in town.
And even your boy status, questionable. I've not seen the credentials. Satch, have you?
Nope. And to be fair, I mean, Tommy, we're not back. We've always been here.
Yep.
No, but you know.
He's back. No,
the trio.
Can I? Are we agreed, Kedge, that Satch is head of HR? Really, if there was a HR department within HR, technicals, you know, he's systems management, operations manager. I don't know, right? He's that
everything, payroll, the lot.
I want to put it out there right now. In the 6 years of doing this podcast, I've not had the opportunity just to be away, just me. And come back to you two doing a podcast. You guys have had time off. Satch has to DJs. We've got Jack's Climax, Simon in, whatever, like that.
Yeah,
Kedge last week. We had to get Chirag Rao in. Why don't I get just a...
But that's the thing, Tommy. Me and you, and so even if I think if you were away, we'd sort something out. Like, as in, I've got someone ready. Whereas Kedge just kind of just, you know, abandoned ship. Like, this is written warning, I think.
Yeah. Oh! And just so everyone knows, full declaration, this is our podcast, all three of ours, right? It's no more mine than it is Kedge and Satch's. Mm. So when you suddenly look around at your fellow owner of a business and he goes, yeah, can't do it, innit? Got my other staff Christmas party, innit? Right? Then you kind of go, Where are your priorities? Mm. Where are your priorities that you'd rather be drinking? It's like if my wife went, sorry, I can't be there for our anniversary. I'm at our other anniversary. Oh, what do you mean? Mm. You know, with my other husband. Oh, because I thought I was the only one. No. I have several, and I'm choosing them over you. So, on that note, did you have a good time with your other family?
Well, it was a bit of a, you know, it's the week leading up to Christmas, and so therefore there was a lot going on. The social calendar was full. And we couldn't sync it, obviously, because we all had things going on. And so there wasn't a day that we could all sync it on one day. So in the end, you two went on a Tuesday. And obviously Tuesday was the day where I had the Christmas party and all the shenanigans from literally lunchtime.
Well, look, so, jokes aside, it's good to have you back. How was it? Was it good? Good party?
Yeah, the Christmas party. Oh, yeah. Great Christmas party. It was a good party because it wasn't, sort of they've evolved a little bit over the years. Do you know what I mean? But, back in the day, maybe like 10 to 15 years ago, Christmas parties was literally you just go to a bar and you drink yourself silly.
I think Christmas parties might have even been started off back in the day in the office. That pub beer bar culture came a little bit after that.
Yeah, maybe, you
know,
maybe.
You'd know that they'd lay on some sandwiches and things like that in the office. Bottles
picky
of
bits.
Drink,
picky bits.
Yeah. Right. And then everyone would go, yeah, it's our Christmas party. We might all sit around, push the tables together, maybe have a little meal from the canteen if there is a canteen. I'm thinking of my dad working for a place like BT, you know, like back in the day. So like that's how, so that, but then you're right. Then now, I mean, even at the early BBC days, we'd all go to a bar and wasn't it all paid for? Wasn't everything paid for originally?
I think it would be.
But then we had BBC parties like in our canteen and stuff, remember that one year?
We had that downstairs in the bar canteen area.
Asian network, we'd also break off and go to like an Adesi bar or something.
You all came to Namaste Lounge one year, remember?
Who did
they?
All of you lot after Christmas.
Punjabi Hit Squad, Haroon.
Everyone,
I remember that. Raj and Pablo. Yeah, yeah. Because I remember it kicked off between some people, staff wise. And I went, leave it. And that person goes, that other person, he's a little boy. He's a little boy. He needs to realize he's a little boy.
I remember that. I forgot who kicked off.
I called someone a prick that night as well, actually.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah, but that's Kedge.
I did. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Kedge. It wasn't Kedge. Someone giving me grief when I was DJing. I told him to do one.
I feel like I was really behaved for this party. I don't know.
No, you were. Well, you know why? Because that was almost like home turf for you. So you were like the host of
a
North London Namaste Lounge place. That's your territory.
So I think I remember someone. I think I remember a female who got a little bit carried away.
Yeah, there always is. There always
is. Was giving out kisses under the mistletoe.
Oh, really?
I remember that.
You shouldn't have attached the mistletoe to your belt, Kedge. I mean, that's just...
well, I tried.
just to draw the attention. So basically, what was the format of your...
So the format, this one slightly, because the bar that they'd hired out was basically had like pool tables, foosball, darts board, do you know what I mean? And then there was like karaoke, there was a bit of a DJ. I've got to say, the DJ, you know, like obviously, because like, obviously, you know, like you get used to a certain level of DJ, not mentioning any names, but my God, This sort of village hall kaka DJ who turned up, he was rubbish. He just didn't know what to play. Because you know, like, and the Satch knows this, that there's a lot of English DJs, they just play one tune and then another tune. There's no mixing involved. You know, they make a lot of money by being the wedding DJ or the, you know, the christening DJ. They just select.
Grinning.
Even Kedge would do a little
mix. I'm grinning in my head because this is what happens, right? You know, a bit like Superman or Lassie. When Lassie would hear that someone stuck down a well, Lassie just knew, right? That would know. Someone stuck down a well. Then it would kind of start to gather up people. Kedge is that guy.
Is that what Lassie did?
Lassie could just sense trouble or would hear
smell. He could sniff it out. He could rescue people. Yeah,
and then rescue people. Right, a bit like Superman. Whatever Superman, his you know, super senses would kind of pick up that there's a burning building on the other side of town, and he'd suddenly change. Kedge is sitting there in a bar. He hears like a crap song, a bad mix, and thinks, da, 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 like, rips open his shirt, goes to DJ, goes,
no,
mate, do you want some help?
The thing is. He doesn't rip open his shirt. He rips open his jeans.
Honestly, you know what though? I was so far into like, I just don't care. Like, you know, because you couldn't even hear it where we were because we were playing pool a lot and stuff. And I was just like, and I just felt sorry. I just felt sad. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was obviously just some local DJ. So, but he brought the karaoke equipment with him as well. That was rubbish. You couldn't even hear the people singing. It was just a bit. It was just a bit of a pour of effort. So, like, you know, normally when people are doing karaoke, you're sort of like, everyone starts getting involved because, you know, you can hear them singing. You couldn't hear them singing and all that. And then because of that, obviously, I didn't have to get involved. No one pushed me in there because it wasn't the excitement of let's all do karaoke, all of that kind of nonsense. So I got away with that, which was fun.
You didn't sing a song.
No, after all that.
All your sleepless nights and everything that you had.
Well, this is it though. But thank God I didn't have to. Do you see what I mean? Because it's just easier. So. But there was a certain event where I was called to because obviously I was sort of the only sort of senior-ish person that they could find from who would know this bloke. But there was a bloke who'd basically gone a little bit carried away, a little bit drunk, to the point where he was had to try and be propped up by like four or five other people. Oh, his trousers were sliding off, hanging out.
Kedge, this is your time. You're a first aider in amongst everybody. You went for the train, so this was your time to shine. This is like Superman, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, by the time I got there were people already there who had already put him in the recovery position.
But
so
did
I
you give it mouth to mouth?
No, because they were already coming out. So, you know, let's not do all of that. But you know, it's crazy, isn't it? How you sort of look back and you just think, I mean, I don't know, I would never behave like that at a Christmas work party. You know, there's only few people I would drink like that with. And even then, I haven't done a sesh like that in years. But it's crazy how some people just go, oh, free drinks. Pogo! Like it's just nuts, isn't it? It's just that whole behavior around it.
Yeah, that is the also though what Christmas parties are about. And you got to remember, we are analyzers, right? We watch the world and we watch people and we analyze, we talk about it, we reflect it on the radio and the things that we make, content, whatever. Some people are just the people. They are just kind of go, it's my Christmas party. Yeah. I don't give a monkey's what. And they'll get smashed. They'll do that. They'll throw up. They'll go, and then I walk in the room and they go, oh yeah, I got smashed. And I carry on. I'd be devastated. Even if I just, even for the first aider, let's say if you had to kind of wipe the sick up then. I mean, like, that's,
Grant, the big CEO of the whole company was there standing watching him. And then, you know, also, I don't know. Maybe we're just different from a different era or something. But it was like, he obviously didn't make it in the next day. Fine.
Right.
But he comes in the day after. And it's just Bindas, like, you know, like.
Carries on.
Like, as cool. Normal. I would not have. And that's probably why we differ. But I would not even have the guts to show my face back in that building. Do you know what I mean? After that.
Is that as bad? Is throwing up as bad as snogging someone in the workplace?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So 2 days later, let's imagine you're coming in 2 days later. What's worse? Oh, I threw up 2 days ago. Or, I mean, as a single person, if you were a single person, I mean, like you go.
Well, no, because if you were snogging someone, you'd probably end up back in the office next day for the initial goss. But that will disappear after a while anyway. No one cares as such.
Right.
Did
you get cracked onto at the Christmas party, Kedge?
No. I was just sinking the balls. That was all I was doing.
I'm sure you were.
On the pool table.
Were you really?
Yeah. They were like, Kedge, you're good at pool. I was like, well, you know.
Hey, it's quite, do you know what, thinking of it, you played pool at your Christmas party. That's a bit sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's exactly, no, it's not, because it was fun. I was still drinking, but you know what I mean? You didn't have to go to that. And also, let's get this, you know.
It was better a couple of years ago when I came in. We had, like, there's a proper DJ and stuff, remember?
I know. But you got to remember, it's work people. Work people are not your friends. So therefore, you're not going to have the same bants as you're going to have with your friends. Do you see what I mean? Us three, it'd be different bants. Work people, you've got to have different bands.
No, hang on a minute. Your work people.
Who?
You two.
Oh, yeah, but our work parties are different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We, you know what? We are free to be ourselves when we're in the company of us three. But yes. You're right. But you,
I mean, HR won't say anything in this company, so it's cool.
No.
Exactly. And I realize as well, when I'm with the dancers from the Time Machine show or comedians, these are, you know, I'm in a professional environment.
Of course, professional environment, yeah.
But now, particularly after being sacked with you two, it's more like, well, Satch wasn't invited back. We've got to point that out. He was never sacked. He'd already left. They brought him in to tell him. They brought him to tell him, we're not going to use you again. He's like, yep.
Cheers, mate.
I've left already. Like, what? Yeah, just, you know, we found
which
your
which is
message.
Hilarious. Which is we actually hilarious. Message,
and just so you know, we don't think they're funny. And we're not going to use you again. All right. But you do realize that I don't work here. That's ridiculous. So who else did they call in? Oh, Sachi's cousin in Ahmedabad. They said, can you bring him over? Can you bring Minesh? Minesh comes over. Yeah, Minesh, because you're Sachi's cousin, you can't work here. Minesh is like, yeah, I've got a wife and three kids in Ahmedabad. I'm good.
And they can't work here either.
They can't work it, no. None of your lot. Okay. Thanks for letting us know that. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
No, but so anyway, what I was gonna say, quick thing on the colleague thing, you do need pool, you do need darts, you do need
because otherwise
you're gonna get smashed as well.
Well, you're smashed, or you end up talking about work, and I didn't want to talk about work, and so therefore at least this was a bit of a distraction. You know, you paired up with like random people from your teams, so you know, you get to do a little bit of different type of bonding. It was fine, you know, and do a bit of darts, and you know, it's just less of that, because you know me. You know,
sinking the balls and putting the bonding. Yeah,
that's good. It. And you know us, we hate all of that inane small chat. And I just can't. I just hate it.
But that's why I'm surprised, Kedge, that you're a big Christmas partier. Like, as in you're when you hear Christmas party date, that's it. He's ready. He's got his Christmas jumper on.
Oh yeah, no,
he's covered in tinsel. Whereas I'm just like, I couldn't think of it. I don't want to go. I'll go for 10 minutes.
So no, I'm optimistic because I just think that one day someone will get it right. It will be right sometimes, but you know, it's just until I guess they put me in charge of it. I don't think they will get it right. But
no, you're right.
You know, what can you? I asked them so many times.
That's it. You're gonna have like it's gonna be a Garage Bangra theme.
Well, I asked them so many times. I said I can get DJ, I can get Satch, I can get Jags. I kept asking them, do you want it? No. We've got it sorted. You know, and then if you want to pay £40 for a DJ, then you know you're gonna end up with Kedge.
Yeah.
I don't even think Kedge would take
£40.
Yeah, true.
On that note, you just made me think, because obviously every Christmas, Kedge, you do the Christmas games at your part, yep. Your family gatherings for the Christmas bash. What are the new games? And is there a new game this year?
Well, when I was talking about Christmas games and everything, everyone thought we were weird as a family. But now all you have to do is go onto Instagram and you'll see loads of families now doing these games. And there's plenty of game ideas there. So just rip them off. Everyone's doing games now as families. No one needs to do them. Now everyone's doing them.
everyone was all around the table, so they're all on their knees, like, so they're just their heads.
What kind of game is that?
Yeah, like, it's all these heads around, and then there's a ping pong ball on the table, and everyone's got to blow it, you know, like across the table. So, and then as it comes towards you, you've got to blow it back and all that. The only thing is, you get people's breath all going over your face.
Yeah, there's the one where there's where you line up the candles as well, and you just have to say Merry Christmas and blow them out.
I don't get that, because hover doesn't come out when you speak.
I know. Yep. So you have to say Merry Christmas and really have to.
Why don't you go?
Some people do.
It depends how good you are at a blowing. Yeah.
So, there's plenty of games available, mate. Just go onto Instagram, TikTok. There's plenty.
But in terms of Christmas parties and functions and all that, have you got a lot on? Have you had a lot on over the festive season as well with other people? Because the reason I say is, we've got a dinner tonight. It's Monday night tonight, Monday the 23rd.
Monday night.
We were out on, you know, I'm losing track of the days as well. A couple of days
already
ago.
He's already there.
I have to go, what is it, Monday, Sunday? You know, and even like going to the supermarket yesterday, I was like, all right, it's only up at 11 o'clock. So all of that. So now I feel a bit out of the loop. And plus, I've been doing these couple of shows as well. But we've been slotting in these dinners with catch-ups with people that we've been scheduled to do for like 6, 7, 8 months.
Can I, just on that topic, I mean, I'm in the same boat, Tommy. We've booked stuff in September probably.
Yeah.
From September, August, you know, the dates are flying around. Oh, can you do this date? Can you do that date? And then, you know, the date comes and you're like, I'd rather just be at home. I'm exhausted.
Rather be at home. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, and I think sometimes we forget, you know, so far in advance that, you know, this time of year is going to be busy anyway. We're going to be working. We're going to be traveling the country, you know, Christmas do's, this, that, and the other. And then on top of that, you're still trying to fit in a dinner, which you don't even want to go to now.
Yeah.
We're at that end now, isn't it? It's just like, I can't be bothered.
Can't be bothered. And it's also, as you know, I kind of hardcore gave up drinking whenever it was, straight after your 40th. When was that then, Kedge? 2020?
2020.
Yeah, right. So a few days after your 40th, gave up drinking hardcore for a couple of years. Then I've had the odd drink on holiday, the odd drink at Christmas. But in the last month, I've had drink about 3 or 4 times. Right. And I'll tell you now, I've said it to my dad, I've said it to everyone, I said, it makes me feel like crap. I remember when I gave up carbs, and then you go back to having carbs, and you're going to go, oh my, I just feel so uncomfortable. And that's exactly what it's done. And then I've realized it doesn't work. Spirits definitely don't work. Like, I mean, they just make me feel hot, like I'm getting a fever, like I'm getting ill. Like, honestly, in the middle of the night, I wake up like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I go,
with sweats.
Like, yeah, but just like feeling, just not angsty. I don't want to make it like it's not a mental thing.
Well, you know, like a reaction. Obviously having, just because I've
what,
I've
what
done
do you
some...
drink then, Tommy, if you're drinking? What are your beers?
What I did was, more recently, we went out to dinner, I had a couple of beers, and that didn't do any damage. That didn't do any.
Should I just give you a bit of science on, why you feel a bit like that at night? Because obviously, with an Apple Watch that I use to now track sleep and all the measurements during night, and there's a lot of stuff that you hear about, you know, like why you shouldn't be drinking alcohol and all of this stuff, you know, and then why does it affect your sleep? Because, you know, you always feel tired the next day.
Yeah.
But basically, just a little bit of info on this. Firstly, obviously, your heart rate is accelerated, right? So therefore, it is much higher than what you are normally used to as you're sleeping. Normally, you'll be fluctuating between, say, 13 to like 17 heartbeats a minute. When you've had a bit of booze, it goes past that. So therefore, your heart's going. That's why you're saying that you're sweating sometimes. You're feeling like that because your heart rate's going quicker. You're breathing quicker. Your heart rate's going quicker. You'll be taking more breaths. Your heart rate is going faster. Therefore, you're not sleeping properly. Also, if it means you're drinking, it means that you're probably going to be going to bed after midnight, and before midnight is when all of your deep sleep happens. There's no deep sleep that happens after midnight, or say 1 o'clock. So if you're not getting any deep sleep, therefore then that's when your brain is cleansing itself, and it's getting time to repair itself. Your brain's not being repaired, therefore you get all the fogginess the next morning. So that is why everyone says the hours before midnight, they count as double. Get to sleep early as possible. There we go. Bit of science in between.
No, I like that. I like that a lot, because actually that makes sense. And actually yesterday, I wish I'd taken that advice, because about 7:30 in the evening, I was nodding off.
Oh,
I
should have.
You can't go to bed 7:30, Tommy. The kids are still awake. Like, what are you doing? I don't forget. You know, and we're
7:30 is brilliant, though, isn't it?
You want to repair your brain, you got to do it.
Yeah. And actually, And I was watching the football. I was watching the Spurs Liverpool game.
My brain needed repairing after that.
No, but it was more that I think it's a good game. There was lots of action. But I was like, I can't stay awake. And then stayed awake and then didn't go to bed till 11:30. So, because you go past
that. You only got 30 minutes repair.
And by the way, it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always work like that. Because it takes time to get into the deep sleep mode.
Yeah.
You've got to get through a bit of REM, bit of core sleep, and then you get into that. So it might not even happen then.
Yeah, so that's why you should go to bed at 7:38, then have that for a couple of hours, and then whatever, lighten up. But on that note, sorry, my little random fact I'm throwing in early is why teenagers are moody and always tired So as you know, we're all at my mum and dad's at the moment. The house is being done up, our new house. So we're living here and we're all in one room. We do have another room, but all four of us, two kids, me and the missus, all in one room. And I'm kind of enjoying it in terms of old school sleepover sense. But got in from a night out whenever I was working. And Milo was in bed, 12 years old. And he's all like, you know, when you do snow angels on the floor, like with your legs, you know, when you lie in the snow, and you do that with your like windscreen wipers with your legs open. He was doing that in his sleep, bruv, non-stop.
Wow.
For 2 hours. Ooh. So at first, I held his leg. I went, you're right, mate. I said, he sort of stirred a bit, went back to sleep, carried on within 10, 20 seconds.
Ooh.
Then he starts doing it again. Right. And I'm thinking, is he itchy? So I'm looking at his legs, because obviously now I can't sleep. I'm right there next to him. And I can hear like, yeah, like
that's not annoying.
And Logan's in the bed next to him. Luckily, Logan's not as tall as him. So and Milo wasn't in it with his arms. It's just his legs, right?
Mm.
And then I'm going, what's going on here? So then I lift up his leg. I'm looking under, like, is there something under his leg on the duvet, on the sheet that's itching him? You know, like, no, nothing there. I stroke his leg. Like, is anything stuck to his leg? No, he's not trying to get something off in his sleep. And then I went, and then I Googled. I'm lying there. I Googled, why do teenagers twitch at night? Hello, not that kind of twitching. But and it's a thing that teenagers go for, like restless nights. So when teenagers are often moody the next day or tired, it's because they have restless leg syndrome. It's a thing where you are
restless
twitching and moving your legs all like, and it's just a sign that it's quite normal in the night that it happens. So I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a thing. So if you've got teenagers and they're being a bit moody, they're a bit restless in the night. They're not getting a proper night's sleep and their bodies are graying. So it's a bit like the compound factors of you and all that booze and all that drinking, Kej, is what you're saying. Not you and all that.
That's
booze.
It. Yeah.
All those things. About. But anyway, my point is we've got a social tonight and I'm not looking forward to it. And I shouldn't say that because they might be listening to the podcast. I'm looking forward to seeing this other couple because they're lovely, really are lovely people. But you know, you're like, oh, I wish we could all just sit.
But where did you go out yesterday? You said you were out yesterday.
No, I watched a football yesterday. I was out over the weekend. I was doing the Birmingham thing and all that, and going to like mixed grill places and things like that. And I thought, you know what? Birmingham is known for its mixed grills. Let me go with my brother-in-law, his cousin, and another guy, and his fiance. So it's like a little group. Went there, and it's packed. It's crazy. You can't get a seat anywhere. But the mixed grills were coming out sizzling hot and fresh. It was all lovely. But I didn't drink. I was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying it at all. I'm happy to drive.
Did you have a restless night's sleep the day before?
I didn't that night. I was very happy. I was perfectly happy that night. It was all good. But what I realized when I went in, went into the mixed grill place, and whilst they're all drinking, I ordered a pot of tea, right? And it came over.
Weird.
And everyone's on Christmas drinks and all that. I ordered it in one place. Then we went to another place as well because I went to the carry on watching the second half of the football there. Actually, that was another Spurs game. Spurs are just following me around this Christmas. What's going on? Right? And then I went to the other place and I got another pot of tea there. And I'll tell you, at the other place, I forget what the name of it was, by the way, somebody with taverns or grills or smokehouses or whatever, all this in Birmingham.
A grill in the tavern.
Yeah, the grill in the smokehouse, Soho tavern. Yeah. And they, but what was mad was, look, I don't get looked at in clubs and bars. I've never been that guy that gets looked at. I've been with guys.
Will fit.
Yeah, thanks, babes.
Right? You're mega.
there you go. That's just a button I've got here to press. It's an effect. Every time I press it, it's just such going, what? You're well fit. No. But I'm telling you, women were looking over at me and my cup of tea. And it's like they're kind of going, that guy's got it right. That guy, they looked at my tea thinking, either they want tea or they want someone who drinks tea.
They were checking out your pot and spout, mate. Honestly,
mate, my spout was out.
Maybe they weren't checking your pot out. They were just thinking, this guy, Bichara, he's just landed from Jalandhar and this is the first drink he's having because he just remembers a teapot.
I think you're stereotyping it, Ketch, because you know and I know, I don't look like I'm straight off the Jalandhar bus, right? I'm not a Jalandhar girl.
But you're Desi and they just thought, you know, we're in a pub, mate. We're in a grill and this guy's having a tea and cake.
No, bro. I saw the look they gave me was like, actually, we'd rather be sat with him. Having a cup of tea.
I ain't that bad. At least I have a Sprite or a Coke Zero. My guy's got a teapot.
How many of them can you have? Bruv, it was, can I be honest? I felt like I'd cracked the code of life. I felt like this was perfect.
Yeah, that's what all old people say when you get to that level.
Maybe. I didn't care. And also, I was freezing. It was one of those nights, you know, when you're going from car to car to going out of a car into it's felt so cold recently. And so I'm saying all power to anybody who's got the balls. And I think if you can, and you don't have a drink, have a pot of tea. And but I also got a slice of chocolate cake with chocolate sauce on it. And I know that was getting eyed up by everyone around me. I was a cool kid. I was a Milky Bar kid in the place. I was there.
Okay. All right.
Well, speaking of one of the places that I was in, and it was yesterday, actually, because I thought, you know what, I'll get it done out of the way. Because I was like, look, Christmas Eve is on Tuesday. Monday's going to be chaos. I'm going to do my Christmas shopping on a Sunday.
Very nice.
Okay.
Got it done.
Food shop.
Yeah, it's got to be the food shop.
So you've left it quite late, haven't you,
Sad?
I think it's right, because you don't want to go too early because then all the dates run out before Christmas. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to be careful of that.
Oh, okay.
You go in. I was like, do you know what? Sunday's cool. You know, Christmas Day's on Wednesday. So, you know, whatever you buy, it's still going to last for about 4 or 5 days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So went in. It was absolute chaos in the M&S near me. Like, I've never seen it like that. Like, there was a queue out the door. There's people that have got, you know, they've got like their hampers and stuff that they're picking up. They've got like a separate queue. It was just, I waited for about half an hour to get a parking spot before I even got in.
Wow.
Ridiculous. But do you know what? I was happy. I was like, it's done. Sunday's done. So I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm just chilling. That's it. Yeah. I don't need to go in the supermarket anymore.
How long did you have to wait for the queues? Was it long queues?
What, for paying?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that bad, actually. I think I just jammed it. I think
any arguing?
I mean, I kind of did get into it because there was only one more Madagascan vanilla left. And I got it. But that was the last one on the thing.
A wrestle. Did anybody else have their eye on it?
I had it in my hand and the lady was eyeing up my custard.
Sorry, it's gone.
And do you know what? I hid it in the bottom of the basket. I was like, no one's even seen it.
Custard brings all the buddies to the yard, mate.
Honestly, it did on Sunday.
Wow.
You got the Madagascan one. That's the good
one. You have to.
Is that the one? I don't know about the Madagascan one.
Because you can either Madagascan anything, Madagascan vanilla cheesecakes and all that kind of stuff. Anything you put Madagascan on the front, honestly, if it was £3 for normal custard, it'd be £4.50 for this one.
Yeah, it was. But honestly, that is the bangers. If you get a chance to, it's past Christmas now when you're listening.
Anyone had
this.
A Madagascar begging?
Oh,
maybe.
It'd probably be the best one.
As Tommy said, anything Madagascan is going to be banging. Yeah. And to be fair, when you walk around Marks as well, they've got like, even their food range has got like collection written on it. And I'm like, that's going to be better, isn't it? Yeah. I got the
Go on.
The crispy what is it called? The
Madagascan.
Cauliflower cheese, the collection one.
Oh.
Whew. It looks, I'm going to send you a picture.
So it's in a tray.
It's in a tray, ready to go.
That will be everything. You could just have that as a sub G. If you just have that, you can have that on the side.
Take that and get the piranhas out.
Bro, I bet you it would go. Ked would go, oh, I need spice. But I don't. You could have a creamy cauliflower cheese with a paranta. With a nice crispy
creamy cauliflower cheese paranta. Guys, no, look, this is the satyanas of being this.
That's going to be banging.
It's going to be banging.
That creamy cauliflower cheese with a paratha, guys.
It's like it's got the crispy layer on top of it. I was like, mate, that's gonna be banging.
Horrific. It's crisp. Horrific.
I can't wait for Christmas Day.
I thought you'd be down with that totally, Kedge. I thought you'd be totally down with that.
No, but cauliflower cheese needs a little bit of flavour.
Here we go. He's going to put the third guy in there. He's already frying the onions and he's put it in. He's going to make a little bugger for it.
Really needs it. Exactly. It needs some sort of
oil. Down. If you did that to my M&S cauliflower cheese, Kedge, I'd beat you up.
The thing that's missing is chili flakes.
Oh God, no! Not with the cream. You can have something else hot on the side, but not that. And sorry, this brings me back to, of course, weirdly, I got a message. I messaged them. They messaged back yesterday's East West Pizza in Tufnell Park, London.
Oh, we got to go, Tommy.
I know. I told him that, and I messaged yesterday. Mm. And I said, because actually, last minute one, because I'm out for dinner tonight. I was going to go there today. By the way, even though it's the Monday before Christmas, loads of restaurants are closed on a Monday. So. They're closed Mondays and Tuesdays.
Most restaurants are closed on Mondays anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a thing. But I thought in the week up to Christmas, that would kind of blow all the rules.
Should be open.
But anyway, it was closed for tonight. But I said, look, I'm definitely going to come down with the boys in the new year. You might look forward to seeing you then. That was it. Lovely. So, but it's a butter chicken pizzas is what they do. But they also do in the daytime, Kedge, which is one for you, proper Punjabi chole bhature. Which I think,
Can't go wrong.
Yep, exactly.
Weren't you out on the weekend, Kedge?
Yeah, well, Friday, obviously, it was Matt was down from Thailand. So nope. it was
make-believe friend.
It was a school reunion sort of drinks and meal, usual. Namaste, lad. You know how we roll. Satch wasn't there, so we had to make do with another DJ who was just mixing tunes just one after the other, not actually mixing, just playing one after the other. But anyway,
That's two DJs now in this podcast.
I know. Well, what can you do? Good DJs are difficult to find. So that was good. I thought it was quite funny because basically a couple of the meat eaters dropped out last minute, whatever, you know. And so there was only one meat eater there for the actual dinner. And he was so gutted because basically, well, Matt was the other meat eater, but the thing is Matt doesn't eat spicy food. He wanted to get all this like meat food, and Matt wouldn't eat anything, so you could barely eat like the king prawns and stuff like that, and he was just struggling. And it's always fun, isn't it, seeing like your Gora friend who can't eat the spice and they sweat and they're dying, and it's just
but was he still enjoying it?
That's me, I'm that friend.
It's one thing when they're struggling, it's one thing they're like no, but they're loving it and still struggling.
No. Matt don't love it. That's the problem. Matt does not love it. He just likes a curry and rice, simple dimple, you know, sweet as he can get it. What's that, the real sweet one?
Korma.
But obviously, you can't get a korma in Namaste Land as well, so that becomes a problem as well. But actually, while I was there, I bumped into someone else who I used to play football with, again, in Bushi, not Kamal Khan or Jana Jana, but another guy whose name is Sagar Radia, and this geezer is now on telly, and he's become an actor, a fully fledged actor. He's on that new show on HBO called Industry. Bumped into him, and I was like, "Geezer, so nice to see you." I'm so, you know, Kedge. I was proud. I just wanted to big him up. I'm like, it's so good. He was in the Good Karma Hospital back in the day, and then now he's in Industry, and he's like a straight up Gujarati fella, smashing it. He went out to America, did this show, and I was just like, you are doing so well. And I was like, you know what? There must be something in the waters of Bushi on the five-a-side football that I get to play football with all these legendary people. Just thinking, that's two now I've unearthed from the football.
I mean, the term legendary is bandied around a bit too easily nowadays. Mm. And I think you are definitely one to wave the legendary flag for someone who's in something called Industry, which I've never heard of.
It's big.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's really big, like with all the other Korean shows and Vietnamese shows you've endorsed over the years.
Tommy, have you heard of this fella?
No.
Neither have I.
You would have seen him.
Sanjay, Sanjay, you said his name's Sanjay?
No.
He's so big, he's forgotten his name.
Sagar.
Only
Sagar. Simon.
Only because Sanjay from EastEnders is a member at the David Lloyd that I'm at. So right. I see him in the...
What's rooms. His real name?
Deepak.
Does he sit on the leather sofa?
I didn't see him sitting you know, with his deep pack out. No, I didn't see that.
Okay.
I don't sit on those leather sofas, man.
No, not anymore. What I'm saying is, so like I would say Sanjay from EastEnders is a legend. You know, Sanjay Gita.
I agree. Whereas, Kedge just brands everyone in there. Yeah.
No, no, this is going to be this. No, I like to put the label on them early because I know I can see the potential and I know that this is going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one soon. So, this is
how old is he?
I don't know how old he is.
Guess, roughly.
I would say early 30s.
Oh, okay, early 30s. Fine. That's not, only because when you say about sort of seeing the legend in someone, just I was filming at a restaurant called Havelli the Yard. It's in Bristol, and it's for Kingfisher. We were there filming.
It's a bit far, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, we would just go around to different Kingfisher restaurants. We just eat their food and get to know the restaurant and do a little interview and play a little game. And this guy, the guy who was running this restaurant, when you say this young talent, he was 22 years old, and he's running. I went, yeah, but like. I said, was it your dad's originally? And you've taken it. He goes, no. He goes, my dad had other restaurants. He goes, well, this is my one. I'm doing it my way. And he was serious. And he was sensible. And he shook my hand. And he was talking on the phone. And he sounded almost, dare I say, you know, a little bit Siddha Sadda. And then at 22, I meet him. He tells me he's married. He's got a kid. And I didn't know. I was like, well, I was like, full respect to you. But then I'm like, ain't that a bit young? If that was Milo, I'm just talking like, look, this is me just giving my each of their own. You live your life how you want.
Yeah, who are you,
Andy? I'm not
in there.
No. See, I think you're wrong there, right, Satch? Because I am absolutely going to judge. I'm going to judge everything about your life, Kedge's life, whatever. I may not choose to tell you because that's just my opinion. It's not. I'm not in a position to give you my opinion, but I will judge because I'm going to. I can't help but process information.
No, you are giving your opinion to everyone now on the podcast.
On our podcast. This is my place. This is my home. This is my
judge in the brief.
Right, exactly. Whereas I can say that if Milo goes to me at 22 years old, you know, he's married with a kid, and Milo's going to be 13 in a few months, right?
So 9 years away.
Less than 10 years, he's going to be running a business, married with a kid. I'd go, Milo, you know what, bro? Like, bro, you know what, son? I feel like I'm younger than I am. Don't. Just go. Bugger off somewhere for 3 or 4 years. Go live in South America. I hear it's sick over there. Like, just go tear it up with some empanadas.
Yeah, and, but when the violins are playing and it's la 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 la.
Yeah.
Then you know.
But this kid was smart though. You know, the 22-year-old who ran the restaurant. He was smart. He was ahead of his time.
Well, he'd have to be, innit? If he's running a restaurant.
Anything. When I was 22, I didn't know anything about business. Bloody hell. Even when I was studying business and management stuff at university, business advertising, right? And the marketing side of it. And I remember they did accounts, right? They and whenever they'd mention double entry accounts, we'd start laughing. So, you know, just.
To this day, I still don't know what that means.
No, but every time I hear double entry accounts, I'm.
I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
Entry twice.
Okay.
What does that mean? Kedge? It means entering it twice. There you go.
Mature. So you're
the same account. Yeah, in the Excel sheet, you put it in twice.
You put £10 plus £10.
Double entry. You use two cells to enter it.
Yeah, that's right. £10 and
only in one hole, or in one gap, one column.
One block.
Yeah,
I still don't know how to use Excel. Do you know what I use it for? Writing a list.
Yeah, right. I joke with it. I wouldn't. If once it was opened, I wouldn't even know what to do.
There's no need for me.
You know, Excel. With Excel, it does feel like it's a very basic. It's what it feels like. It should be quite an outdated program by now. Do you know what I mean? Because I remember opening up Excel like when computers first started. And I thought,
it was like the first thing.
Yeah, and it was like, they had that paperclip in the corner, and it was just like, but Excel seems to have lasted the test of time, and I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why that has lasted, because it still seems very basic. And why have they not invented something which is Word and Excel together? Do you know what I mean? Like, Wexel. That again Wexel. Is weird as well.
Yeah, Wexel.
Wexel.
But, Wexel. But it's my wife is quite a high-end accountant. She does a lot of, like, she has two screens all of numbers around her and is doing stuff like that all day. And she
Very double entries, mate.
She loves Excel. Excel to her is like Pinterest
sad.
For me.
It's quite sad,
I love
honestly.
Pinterest, right? And I'm on it all the. No, you're right. So my
this
my
year point, I learned how point. To. This year I learned how to add up totals, and I managed to because I had to do some budget report, and I had to figure. Honestly, it took me ages to figure that out.
I don't understand why you want to do it in the software. Just pull the numbers in, and then use a calculator and put the total at the bottom.
But this is what it does. If you put the formulas in, you don't need the calculator.
Is it like I've got a time for VLOOKUP or whatever that means? I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, I know, but I think once you know, it is brilliant. But it's just I don't know
with their macros and shit. Who cares, man? Like, this is honestly boring. Boring. You're boring me.
Exactly. So that's why the fun in it lies in double entry and things like that. And on that note, again today, I just thought the like innuendos and being childish. Right? I'm 48 years old. And this kid's 22 is so smart. And then today there was news. The news was out that Honda, Nissan, and Mitsubishi. Are all going to merge, right? They said they might be merging, right?
Okay.
And they said, and then on the radio, they called it the Japanese three-way. And that was it. I was like, for me, a Japanese three-way is another term for the, but I'm like.
Hey, wait, I mean, don't Google that, whatever you do.
Exactly. What's is the name of the Japanese? But it's just the three. I mean, come on. Surely everyone in any newsroom would have gone, we can't use the word Japanese. We can't use the word three-way.
But it's a new era. It's a new era. They don't know what that. Yeah. They wouldn't know what that means. And you know the other word I thought of as well that doesn't get said anymore, but we all used to use it. Do you remember feisty?
Oh, no, I still use that.
Well, feisty, not
feisty.
Feisty.
Yeah, I still use feisty.
It's a brilliant word, feisty.
I love feisty.
Does feisty mean feisty? Is it just another way of saying it?
No. Feisty is just feisty. It's just what would you?
Stop being feisty.
Someone's a bit lippy, gobby, bit feisty. Yeah. Got an answer for everything.
Isn't that what feisty is as well, though?
No. If you're feisty, you're a bit fiery, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
And I think feisty was quite a London thing, wasn't it? I don't think up north people know
South
what feisty
London.
Meant.
South London.
Yeah, South London, or like even what we knew what it was in London. But I think feisty, if you said it to people up north, they would not have heard of it. But I just thought of it. I thought it was a great word, and I think it needs to be brought back. Feisty.
Yeah.
Just rubbing your beard when someone says something that you don't believe. I think that's a good one.
Jimmy Hill. Yeah, I don't know why they were. And other news in the press today.
Go on.
Cadbury's.
Ooh.
Cadbury's chocolate. By the way, we've got a lot of chocolate around us. My mum and
Sorry,
dad got...
before you do the story.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because you said you've got a lot of Cadbury's at your gaff.
Yeah.
I've been to Tesco twice in the last 4 days. All I've seen is Asian people roll out with at least minimum 8 dubbas of this. What is this about?
No, I'm glad.
Because the trolley.
No, because Asians would normally give Ferrero Rocher to other families, but they've realized now, this generation, because I'm the generation of taking round chocolate now. So I have kids. I go to someone's house. We're going to take a box of chocolates. We're not going to take Ferrero Rocher now.
No. Right?
We don't think that's posh. We know people like it's Snickers, Mars, Bounty, Celebrations. They want
Celebrations, dubbas. Why are Asians buying so many dubbas?
Not to give you, it's an easy one. Here you go. Hi, good to see you. Here you go.
I think it's a bit lame.
Yeah, I think, I can't even. Do you know what? If someone bought a box of Celebrations, I don't think I'd be happy.
I
want better chocolates.
Even if you give me 6 from Marks and Spencer's.
Boom ones. Exactly.
My thing now is if someone does that, you bust them open there and then they go, here you go. Lovely. Let's all get down on it. Meaning because you don't want to keep, otherwise you're going to end up with just dubbe sitting at your house.
Yeah, no, but like, it's just that now it's like Celebrations, it's like milk tray level. Dead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's milk tray dead. and those gullion shell ones.
Yeah, rubbish. Dead. You can't, I couldn't go to anyone's house bringing them. They're rubbish. Honestly.
Oh yeah, gullion. I've just thought, what are they? I've seen those gullions.
Do you remember those gullions? Worst chocolate ever. They look different. Yeah. They all taste the same. They're dirty.
No,
don't give me a gullion.
I do love a Cadbury slab though. I think
in the gullion. That is where it ends up.
Yeah, and coming out of the gullies. I do love a Cadbury slab. Cadbury's have got it down, and obviously Cadbury's were a Birmingham-based chocolate, but now they're owned by an American company, right?
But is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the news as of today is that Cadbury's have been stripped of its royal warrant of appointment. Now, the royal warrant of appointment is given to just under about 400 companies, it is at the moment, about 380-390 companies, who are official suppliers in some way or another for the monarchy, for the royal family.
Right.
So, okay. So Cadbury's, being a Birmingham-based company, have been like, yeah, you know, the monarchy will consume Cadbury products. Like the monarchy, you know, it's still got the royal warrant of appointment for Weetabix. Weetabix is a supplier to the monarchy.
Right.
Moët and Chandon, the champagne.
Moët
and Chandon. They are still with their title of being royal warrant of appointment suppliers. But Cadbury's been dropped because of various reasons and whatever. And it's saying, and Cadbury's were a bit like, oh, we're a bit gutted, but we're glad we've been a part of it all this time. But there's still a couple of the chocolate brands in there. And I thought, hang on a minute. This is a thing. This official list of products that your household consumes. Now, actually, we briefly touched on it last week. I think Satch and I and with Chirag were talking about it. Like, everyone has like a certain butter. Your family gets Anchor, your family gets Lurpak, your family gets whatever. You know, like, that would be one of your official suppliers. What do you, are you Persil? Are you Bold? Are you whatever? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. What, and you have your own official ones. So then I thought, go on.
So they've been dashed out then, basically, Cadbury's.
Cadbury's have been dropped. They've been dropped. See, and it might be political as well, because I think they're looking at like, who's still supplying places in the world. And
bro, it's Charlie's with us. He said, don't come around my house with Cadbury's because they're shit.
He's one of us. You can't say that.
All right, they're not shit, but it's just like, just bring me something better, innit?
No, I think the bars are shrinking as well. So like, the whole nut isn't as big as the whole nut used to be. And
but the fruit and nut tastes better than ever, I've got to say.
You think so?
I think they taste better than it. I had one the other day at work. They taste banging. It's so good.
Timing is everything as well. If you haven't had a bit of chocolate for a while and then you get down on a nice bit of Cadbury's, I don't think there's a chocolate, no lint, no fancy chocolate, nothing.
Cadbury's don't do it for me. I don't know what it is. If I want a fruit and nut, I'd go for the the Yulkie, the brown Yulkie.
Yep.
I love that biscuit and the raisin. Biscuit.
Yeah, but see, it's the raisin. I'm not sure about the songy.
I'm not about that biscuit vibe.
But okay, here's my question to you boys, all right?
Go on, then.
So there are all these companies that have the royal warrant of appointment. I don't know if they've got any desi supplies in that house. That's going to be, it's going to be all like, you know, fancy dark chocolate now, or drinks, or hams, or scotch eggs. I don't know, things that the royal family might eat that are very typically English and British, right? So things like that. But okay, have a think. I can see your minds are going good. Have a think about a desi supplier. And I mean, it's got to be a desi-run company, ideally British, because although, you know, Moët and Chandon is not a British company, but it's their champagne. They will allow that into the monarchy house. So, but ideally, actually, maybe it doesn't have to be a British one. Maybe it can be something desi-desi. But a desi product that you would want on the list, over to you boys, for the royal warrant. Charles is looking for more brown-made stuff. What would you recommend?
I think there's only one, and the one that is, you know, unanimously people will agree. I can't believe it's not even there, because I just had to Google it as well.
What is it?
Since 1957, thanks to Shantaben and Lakshmi Shankar Bhai Patak. I mean, the Patak's original, bruv. They have to be a part of that. They have to be. They came from India. UK company. They got all the pickles. Charles and Camilla must love a little bit of pickle.
No, I'm sorry. They're like your mate Matt. They only eat korma. They don't want no pickle.
No, I don't know.
But Patak's papadums.
You can't give them what's it called? The achar.
Achar, yeah.
You can't give them that. We ain't gonna eat that.
They love it on a crumpet.
Couple of crackers.
I think on that note, I think they should definitely have the proper, like the one that Kedge got me, achar brand. Asgar. No, not Asgar. What was it? It was
Ashoka,
that's it. My mum, even she went, ik toa, where's this shit from? Like, where have you got? This is from the dealer, mum. This is from the
The one that your mum liked was not from Ashoka. That is another one, bro.
Scrap all the Patak's and that. I think we need to go in for like the, you know, the Kaka that's just got one little. He's an independent retailer.
Tier two.
It's like the guy who sells mangoes on the street. They're going to be better than the ones he get from any shop.
Right. So on that note, I did think that the royal family should definitely have Alfonso mangoes proper, the yellow ones, as their kind of, as a supplier, because you know, there ain't no mango. I mean, there are other great yellow mango brands, but that's a tried and tested, been going.
Well,
no,
I mean, with India and Pakistan being colonies and stuff, I'm sure they got a straight conveyor belt supply.
Yeah, but then they need to fully endorse it and go, look.
Oh,
we
I see. Mm.
We have this.
But there isn't. But there isn't a business, in it. Alfonso's a
no. I think
mango.
You know. You need
no,
to.
Alfonso's a brand. It's a brand.
No, Alfonso is the type of mango.
It's a type of mango. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a brand.
Yeah.
It's not okay. But only because I've seen the sticker on it saying Alfonso and the
yeah, that's the name of it.
That's the name. It's a type of mango.
Well, like,
yes, but that's what I mean. I think you need to scope, walk down Ealing Road or Southall Broadway and scope out which uncle's got the best boxes.
Co-Fresh need to be on the list.
No, but Tommy, I don't think they eat that shit. You can't just give them stuff that they. I'm thinking more things that, you know, they might want to use. Like, for example, official supplier, Cut Price Windows, Buckingham Palace. Get them in there.
Can you imagine getting that contract?
Gandhi carpets.
But I think that would be more helpful.
Their advert would literally
Himalayan carpets.
Just keep going, yeah.
Mera boiler, the lot of
the Himalayan carpets. Do Himalayan carpets still go on?
Yeah, Himalayan carpets. Yeah.
Carpets. Himalayan carpets.
They're the banger. We need to be putting forward as a supplier.
Who did you say? Who else did you say to search?
Cut Price Windows, Himalayan carpets, Mera boiler.
Mera boiler just deserves to have a song. Why, Tommy? Why have they not enlisted you to make a song for Mera boiler? Hey, da, 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 da. I mean, there's so many songs. Yeah. Mera boiler. So many.
Oh man. What's that one?
Yeah. I mean, this is Mera Boiler just deserves to have so many songs.
That's what I mean. You can put one in every room in Buckingham Palace. And official podcast partner is the Brown, though. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. Standard.
Right.
What have we learnt? Oh, what have we watched? Have we watched anything before we get to what we watched?
Oh, I've seen a couple of things, actually. I went to see
good stuff on telly. Go on.
Well, so I went to see that new release, which is Mufasa, obviously the prequel, the story of Mufasa, Simba's dad. And it's not a cartoon. It's like sort of actual, like very realistic,
like,
you know, like
how the other Lion King.
Yeah, it's like the other Lion King.
When they revamped Lion King, it was done like that. And like when they redone Jungle Book.
Jungle Book.
It looks like actual animals. Like
And
they're talking and shit.
Yeah, so they're talking. It's really, 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 really well done because you're very low. The camera's always very low and it's always moving around at that level of where the lions and the cubs are. And it's sort of, it can get a little bit like, sort of like, people might get a little bit sick because it moves really quickly. I went to see it in IMAX and it's, you know what I'm going to say? It's brilliant. I loved it. It's a brilliant story. It sets it up so nicely for, you know, how Lion King all came about and everything. It's definitely a watch. The other thing that I've watched, which was something that you can get on Amazon Prime, and it's a film called Magpie. Now, I don't know if anyone's heard of this film, but it stars Daisy Ridley in it, right? And it's a bit of a, it's like a low budget kind of low budget film. You know, it's not like a big blockbuster or anything like that. But firstly, it's a brilliant film. I've got to say, it's a brilliant story.
Magpie,
yeah, Daisy Ridley, but it's got an Asian person in the lead, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, "So what? Is there going to be some sort of, you know, why have they got an Asian?"
Was he from Bushy? Did you play football with him?
No, I've not played football with this guy. I've not played football with him. His name is Shahzad Latif, handsome fella, long hair. You know, he's got the vibe, and he plays the role of Ben. But. You know, like, as an Asian watching this film, you're like, oh, so obviously, because there's an Asian, you know, they'll be celebrating Diwali or, you know, they'll be eating parathe or something like that. But no, he was just an Asian actor, but he was playing the role of Ben, a Gora. Do you know what I mean? Like a Gora name. But he was just because he was the best person for it. And I thought that was quite a massive step forward. Do you know what I mean? That he was Asian.
Weird, isn't it?
What do you mean?
That's a bit weird.
What, that he was playing Ben and he wasn't an Asian?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just pick a Ben?
Well, no, but this is what we're trying to say, though. This is what we're trying to say, that this is how we're moving forward now, Sats.
Hang on a minute.
It could be because with the CH.
Hang on a minute. You could never have a white person playing a black guy.
But you don't know that. Like,
we're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, no, but you could have a Ben who's an Asian bloke. He could be Ben.
What?
He could be Ben. They might have named him Ben. You don't know.
You're telling me you're going to turn on Star Plus one day and you see Ben in like one of these Indian serials.
No. Besides, you're being very narrow-minded in the sense that Ben is a Gora name, so therefore he has to be white. What I'm saying is that they casted just an Asian guy in the role of obviously that this film was written and the characters were Annette and Ben, husband and wife,
right?
And they must have done the screen test for it, and Shahzad Latif turns up and he's the best Ben. So they're not going to change his name then all of a sudden to Shahzad, are they? They just changed it to Ben, and they just had it as Ben. But I thought it was really it's quite forward thinking that they just played an Asian person in that role. Brilliant film. He's a good actor. I've never seen him.
I think you should just let it go now, Satch. Just let it go. Now, Ben, Nuchor. Just Ben, Chor. Please, just let it go.
Okay, fine. That's it. I will. Call me Elsa.
Yeah, but if you want to identify as Elsa as well.
Sorry, just because you said that, I'm having a very easy Christmas day this year. And I thought of Elsa, Let It Go, because we're doing cooking at my sister's house, which I mentioned. Everyone else is doing their own little bits. I did a little bit of shopping for the meats, but that's all I've got. Someone else is doing potatoes. Someone else is doing this. Someone else is doing that. Because it's at my sister. She's getting the house ready. They're doing the decoration. They're doing the ice. They've got to get the black bags. They've got to get this. And it's funny. I'm like, this is, you know, when you feel like we've forgotten something. This is all too easy. I'm just doing. So I've got to say, thoroughly enjoying this Christmas. I feel like I am. I'm now, after having chatted to you guys, it's our last podcast of the year, our Christmas podcast officially. I feel like I'm in Christmas mode now. And actually, I've got some Christmas things I've learned as well. That's what I'm ready to
go. I mean, you know, I'm not really feeling too Christmassy, but I think when I turn on the telly, it makes me feel Christmassy. Yeah. Because I've watched last night, Die Hard was on. I was like, banging film. Then I watched Elf the other day. I've got something on record today that I'm like, I'm going to watch that. I think Ghostbusters. I'm like, yeah, watch a bit of Ghostbusters.
You know how I've been getting. You know how I've been getting into the Christmas spirit as well.
Go on.
I've just found that you can get all of the Only Fools and Horses episodes on the streaming services. Yeah.
Oh, wicked. That's good.
I just thought I'm going to watch it all from because you know what, Satch, am I right in saying, are you a fan of Gavin and Stacey?
No, hate it.
Okay, because there's been a lot of the Gavin and Stacey hype, isn't it, on Christmas Day, and it's the last show. So I actually tried watching a couple of episodes to see, you know, I wanted to be a part of everybody else. You know, Ken.
Of course you do.
Yeah. So I thought, I want to be a part of this whole moment that's going to happen on Christmas Day where everyone's going to be watching at 9 o'clock, the last Gavin and Stacey, and it's like, it's like, you know, institutional. Everything. I tried watching a couple of episodes. I'll be honest with you, it's rubbish.
It is rubbish. I could have told you that it's rubbish.
It's not even funny.
I'd put that in the same category as Mrs. Brown Boys. What is that shit?
Yeah. It's all the same. It's not laugh a minute. It's weak. And I just didn't think it was that funny. Maybe you have to be of a certain age at a certain time to have watched it. I missed it at the time. I didn't care.
I think there's a little bit of that. I think it's a little bit of watching at the time. But also with Gavin and Stacey, it wasn't. It's never supposed to be a laugh a minute. It's more the character.
What is it then?
I'm about to tell you. It's when it finishes. Right, exactly. If you could actually get to the end of an episode without you two cynics interrupting, that'd be nice. But it's the story of these people. So Rob Brydon, the Welsh uncle in it, is brilliant.
Yeah.
There's an underlying
story
of what happened. There's lots of little underlying story about what happened on the fishing
trip. What happened on the boat. Gordon,
and I'll be honest, I'm going to say it. I'm a fan of early James Corden, not more recent James Corden. And I've heard a lot of stuff that makes you think maybe James Corden isn't the kind of James Corden that we thought. But then, hey, people already say that about me as well. So, but it's more that his character in it is very funny. The romance is going very funny. The uncles and aunts is funny. There's some really iconic scenes about when he's ordering the Indian food.
Lambuna.
All that. So there's some real moments in it. But I think but coming back to what you're saying, you know, it's like, It's formed part of people's Christmas viewings over the years, a bit like Catherine Tate or whatever. So you then use a few moments stick in your head, and that's enough to sell it on. It's a bit like people coming up to me about the radio show, going, "Oh my god, you guys were so funny on the radio," and I'm like, "We weren't. We weren't so funny. We were chirpy. We were fairly upbeat most of the time.
No, I think we were.
Okay, and we had some laugh out moments. It wasn't hilarious every day." some days we're just going through the motions, a bit like Gavin and Stacey.
I think it was more funnier off air.
Maybe, but I'm saying, but people come away with a feeling of like, actually, that was their fun. That was fun. Gavin and Stacey's fun. So I think there's a lot, and there was, the show not been on air for ages, and it's Christmas Day is coming back. So I know one Mrs. Sandu is very, very excited about it.
Oh, really?
As well.
But, it's all about EastEnders. I'm looking forward to EastEnders. I don't know who's going to die this year. It's like annoying me because I don't know.
That's a dead show.
No one's dying or no one's coming back. So I've got to watch that. And the other thing that I'm looking forward to, and I think they put this on every Boxing Day, but I watch it every Boxing Day. East is East. Can't go wrong. That's a good Chris. Like,
is it on Boxing Day?
I think it's Boxing Day.
I like watching it.
Yeah, a bit of East is East. So, yeah. But other than that, Kedge, I watched something and I thought of you because I was like, there's something. He'd never watched it. It was called The Buckingham Murders on Netflix.
No, I've not seen that. Not heard of it.
What's her face, isn't it? Kareena Kapoor.
Really?
It's a film.
I heard about it. It was
really weird because she's obviously a massive Bollywood star, but it was like an English film. So it was a bit like, what are you doing in this?
Was she good?
Yeah. It weren't bad. It was. I mean, I wouldn't watch it again, but it was all right. But it was just good to see her not in a Bollywood film, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, talking of Bollywood actresses and not in a Bollywood sort of scenery. So, you know, I'm watching Dune Prophecy, which is the sort of the spin-off series from Dune, the film. Mm-hmm. This week, who appears all of a sudden? Hey. Dabu in Dune Prophecy. And she is one of the main sort of sisterhood kind of leaders in it. And she's got the black sort of looking a little bit sort of mysterious. I was like, rated. Jumped onto her Instagram. She's been banging on about how she's in Dune Prophecy. I was like, well, you know what? Again, good to see that these people are casting our sort of slightly older women from Bollywood because they're not getting a looking in the films anymore because we don't write those kind of films anymore, but they're getting a look in the mainstream.
My little tangent on Dabu. Met her. Never interviewed her.
Nor have I.
I couldn't really even tell you what films she's been in. Because I wasn't following her career then.
Yeah.
However, she follows me on X.
Yeah.
Really?
And it just came up with a tick, Mom. I remember once years ago, like, Dabu is now following you. And I went, that's the actress.
Is it a real Dabu?
So I just think some bit of content of ours has gone out around India or whatever. And she's gone, oh, funny bloke, and followed. Or something.
That's a proper follow then. She actually thinks you're funny.
Yeah. or ridiculously good looking. One of the two. I can only presume it's funny.
That's a good show. Yeah. I remember in this film called Ginny Gum. She was in that.
I beg your pardon. What kind of film was that?
That's a bit like the Japanese three-way.
I think we should just end the podcast then. That is your finest work, Tommy. That is your finest work. I mean, I don't even feel like carrying on after that. I think we should just
forget
end it.
Let's not do this.
I don't even think we need to
allow it. Allow it.
That's it. That is the end. That is the end of 2024. Tommy, he killed it. That's priceless.
Have a good Christmas, boys. We'll see you all next year.
Later.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.